Have you ever left a conversation feeling completely drained, as if someone just vacuumed the energy right out of you? Or experienced the opposite, a talk that left you buzzing with connection and understanding? The difference isn't random. It lies in something most of us never learned, how to speak with awareness. We master calculus and chemistry, memorize historical dates and literary devices, yet somehow graduate into adulthood without the slightest clue about conscious communication. We wield language like toddlers swinging hammers, unaware of our power to build or destroy. What if the secret to transforming every relationship in your life, with partners, children, colleagues, even strangers, isn't about what you say, but how you say it? This isn't about political correctness or walking on eggshells. It's about recognizing that each word we speak creates ripples that either connect us or push us further apart. Ancient traditions understood something we've lost: words shape reality. In yoga philosophy, satya, truthfulness, ranks as the second most important ethical principle, right after non-harming. But here's the twist: satya isn't just about honesty, it's about restraint, asking us to pause before speaking and consider whether our words might cause unnecessary pain. Buddhism's concept of right speech goes further, outlining four specific things to avoid: lies, gossip, harsh words, and meaningless chatter. Think about your last few conversations. How many would pass this test? These traditions recognized speech's dual power. It reveals our internal landscape while simultaneously shaping others' experiences. When you snap, you never listen. You're not just describing reality, you're creating it, triggering defensiveness that ensures you won't be heard. But say instead, "I feel unheard when I'm speaking and you're looking at your phone," and suddenly there's space for understanding rather than combat. Ancient wisdom offers profound truths but lacks practical instruction. Nonviolent communication, NVC, provides specific techniques to embody these principles. NVC reverses our typical pattern. Instead of focusing first on tasks, then others, then ourselves, we should connect with ourselves first, then others, then the task. When you check your internal state before speaking, noticing the tightness in your chest, the flutter of anxiety, the warmth of joy, you communicate from presence rather than reactivity. NVC offers a framework for authentic expression built on four components. First comes observation without judgment, distinguishing facts from interpretations. Instead of "you're so inconsiderate" judgment, try "you arrived 30 minutes after we agreed to meet" observation. Second, we name feelings, actual emotions connected to bodily sensations, not thoughts disguised as feelings. "I feel manipulated" isn't a feeling, it's a thought. Real feelings might be disappointed, anxious, or hurt. Third comes expressing needs, universal human requirements like connection, autonomy, meaning, and peace. Needs differ from strategies. Wanting your partner to text you every hour isn't a need. It's a strategy for meeting your need for connection or reassurance. When triggered, we face four fundamental choices. First is silent self-empathy, pausing to identify what we're observing, feeling, and needing. This means recognizing the emotional DNA shaping our reactions as powerfully as our genetic code. Maybe your father's criticism echoes in your boss's feedback, or your mother's anxiety surfaces when plans change. True self-empathy produces physical confirmation, tears, relief, softening shoulders, and creates curiosity about the other person's experience. Second is self-expression using NVC's framework, stating observations without judgment, naming feelings and needs, and ending with a clear, doable request. Without that request, people hear criticism even when you're sharing experience. Third is giving empathy, silently guessing what another might be feeling or needing. When Americans empathetically guessed Afghan tribal elders' pain about broken promises, naming possible feelings of betrayal and grief, faces softened and tears appeared. Nothing changed externally, but everything shifted through empathic connection. Fourth is making clear requests. Action requests: would you be willing to share what's concerning you? And process requests: would you tell me what you heard me say? The phrase "would you be willing to" emphasizes choice, transforming power struggles into collaboration. Our internal dialogue shapes our external reality. The advice to never do anything that doesn't give you the joy of a 3-year-old feeding a hungry duck reveals unconscious beliefs about obligation. One practitioner created a duck index, a 1 to 10 scale measuring enthusiasm, and committed to nothing below a 6. When her husband invited her to an unwanted movie, she responded, "That's a 3 on my duck index, but seduce me with your needs." This opened creative negotiation rather than resentful compliance, distinguishing between shifting, finding mutual satisfaction, and giving in, breeding resentment. Needs never conflict. Only strategies do. Another practice involves hearing everything as either a please or thank you. When an angry pedestrian yelled "stupid driver," the practitioner translated it to, "Please hear how afraid I was that you might have hit me," generating compassion rather than defensiveness. A Buddhist story illustrates this. A monk's anger dissolved upon discovering an empty boat had damaged his rowboat. Everything is an empty boat. Recognizing this stops us from creating unnecessary suffering through interpretation. Martin Buber taught that healing comes through authentic connection. A yoga scholar offered profound wisdom. Something cannot be true and unkind at the same time. Real truth isn't blurting whatever crosses your mind. It's speaking from what's genuinely alive in you right now. When you connect truthfully with yourself first, your speech naturally fosters connection rather than division. Anger complicates this process. Unlike joy or disappointment, anger stems from judging how the world should be. When angry, we're disconnected from ourselves and others. Self-empathy helps us recognize hidden feelings beneath anger, perhaps fear, hurt, or disappointment, and shifts our bodily experience. This doesn't mean abandoning social change work, but fueling it with compassion instead of ego-based righteousness. When we project enemy images onto others, seeing them as wrong, bad, or evil, we disconnect from our deepest values. These moralistic judgments leak into interactions through body language and tone, making connection impossible. Transforming enemy images means seeing others as human beings who suffer as we do, even while opposing their actions. Even interruption can be reframed. Rather than viewing it as rudeness, see it as enthusiasm to share. Acknowledge what's alive. "I hear you want to share this story, but I'm feeling pressed for time and need to focus on our meeting agenda. Would you be willing to share it afterward?" This honors both people's needs, creating authentic connection, even in potential conflict. Intimate partnerships test our presence like nothing else. We often communicate indirectly based on childhood conditioning, asking, "Are you thirsty?" when we're actually thirsty ourselves. Relationships feel safer when partners reveal themselves directly, as unexpressed emotions register as hidden aggression. One transformative shift: recognizing that making requests gives your partner the gift of meeting your needs. This becoming Santa Claus mindset transforms asking from neediness into generosity. Express feelings and needs before making requests, allowing partners to respond from genuine desire rather than obligation. Remember, no one truly does anything for another person. We only act to meet our own needs for contribution and connection. The practice of dogging, persistently asking for needs, like a dog nudging your hand, differs from nagging because it comes from love rather than blame. Before meeting your partner's needs, check your internal duck index. Are you genuinely willing, or will you harbor resentment later? Long-term couples often argue about the same issues for years because they rush to problem-solving rather than first establishing empathic connection. Once couples truly hear each other's needs, most disagreements resolve within 20 minutes. When triggered, we go unconscious, falling into habitual patterns like withdrawal or blame. Identify your patterns, share them with your partner, and establish a signal they can use when you're slipping into unconsciousness. Conscious speech transforms challenging interactions. One practitioner role-played Osama bin Laden after 9/11, discovering that connecting with shared human needs while condemning actions moves us from hatred to compassion. Another encounter shifted when someone aggressively demanded money. By expressing feelings and offering empathy for the man's needs, the interaction transformed from potentially violent to deeply connecting, ending with the man leaning tearfully on the practitioner's shoulder. When regretting your words, give yourself empathy by identifying which needs you were trying to meet. The mantra, "How human of me," cultivates compassion over shame. Similarly, celebrate victories using NVC language, observations, feelings, and needs met. Practicing conscious communication requires regular empathy and replenishing practices like meditation. We face tension between helping individuals immediately and changing systems creating suffering. The answer is both. Help suffering individuals, starting with yourself, while working to transform harmful beliefs and systems. In our divided world, mindful communication offers healing, one conversation at a time. Every interaction becomes an opportunity to choose connection over righteousness, recognizing shared humanity beneath differences. Your speech shapes reality powerfully. Each utterance builds bridges or walls, creates understanding or division. The choice is yours. Will you speak from reactivity or awareness? The world you want begins with the words you choose today.